The Glorious Church is a reflection of God's beauty, character, and nature. The Glorious Church is God's workmanship, created for good works, light for a dark world, and salt for the earth. The Glorious Church must be pure and impactful, for it is the only institution mandated to bring life and hope to the nations. Plug in to the annual theme of the Church of Pentecost for 2020. A glorious church to possess the nations. Come, let us drink deep from the word through which we are being cleansed and washed to become a radiant church. Welcome to Pentecost Hour, God's timely word for our dying world.
And we want to thank the Almighty God for yet another opportunity to be at His feet. Another opportunity to be at His feet. And I'm praying that the Almighty God will be a blessing to us once again. The double-breasted King. He has more than enough for us anytime, any day. Now we're looking at the transforming effects of the Word of God. And we saw that the word of God is perfect. It refreshes the soul. It is trustworthy. It makes wise the simple. It is right. All other standards compared to the word of God, we say you can't compare it, but this one is the right one.
Susu bia bia niwa.
It gives joy to the human heart. It is radiant. It gives light to the eyes. It is firm. It is forever settled. It is altogether righteous. The word we said is superior to wisdom. It is superior to the name Jesus. God has honored His word above His name. It is not enough to be shouting the name of Jesus and raising the dead and healing the sick. You see, if you don't do according to the word of God, you don't measure God's standards. Even the casting of demons and deliverance, it is found in the word of God. So we don't pick that one and leave the big one. God confirms, in fact, today I want to say that God confirms and back His word with signs and wonders.
And
why am I saying that? Now we have said that Jesus stands in for the word. And the word stands in for Christ. But when Jesus was around here on earth, this is what scripture says concerning
him.
Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Acts 2, verse 22. Fellow Israelites, listen to me. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourself know. Now, Luke 24, verse 19
says,
what things he asked, that is Jesus. Then they replied about Jesus of Nazareth.
And
this is the testimony from the disciples on the way to Emmaus. They replied, he was a prophet, powerful in words and deeds before God and all the people. That is Jesus in the flesh. He was a prophet. He speaks into the future. He was a seer. A powerful and powerful in word. And deed before God and all the people. Now Peter will conclude by saying how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Now this is Jesus the way. Now he is not here.
Oni has a say.
Mark 16 verse
20
says. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere.
And as you have only free hall,
and the Lord worked with them. Just as he was with Christ.
Said they're not only Christ.
And confirmed his word by the signs that accomplished it. So just as God accredited Jesus with signs and wonders.
And
if the word is representing him, if the word is Christ, then God. But the way.
With
signs and wonders. He
backed
the way. So this sign shall follow them who believe the
way.
Because God will always confirm his
way.
He will fulfill it. You see, God confirms his way. Not just positive confession. You see, you may confess positive. It will make you feel good. But you see, he only confirms his word. And of course, there's nothing positive, there's nothing that has life than his word. So just as Jesus was accredited with signs and wonders, so God has accredited his word with signs and wonders. The word of God in the mouth of a believing or a man of faith is like Jesus speaking. Now it works. It works. It really works. You agree with me that just as Christ is sufficient for the salvation of the world, so the scripture is good for building the saints, the people of God, the saints, the people of God. You see, 2 Timothy 3:16 from the NIV, and I want you to project for us so that those at home and watching us from our handles, social handles, please, we want to look at this scripture closely. From the NIV, it says that all scripture is God breathed. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I like the verse 17. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. But let's go back to verse 16. Why I wanted us to look closely at this. All scripture is God breathed. And is useful for teaching. I don't favor the word useful so much. I'm not a Greek scholar. But you see, you don't have to be a Greek scholar before you look at this.
Yeah.
God knows that many of us, we don't know Greek. But you see, why I'm saying that maybe the word useful, you see, when you say it is useful, it doesn't bring the kind of strength. It is as if other things too are useful. But King James said that all scripture is God breathed and it is good for teaching. He will not use the word teaching. Do you have King James?
King James,
the old man.
Akokra.
This man is a profitable for doctrine.
We say so.
Now, I like the profitable, but I like the good, the old one.
Menije infaswanhu na menije papa no so.
He says that all scripture is good.
I say, trono eye papa.
Now, when he says it is good,
papa,
what it means is this.
The upper trend is,
you see, the word good is absolute term.
Once
you move to better, excellent, then you are comparing.
So
good is good.
Papa.
What that means is that, so far as the scripture is concerned, it is the good one. I don't know.
It is
this very one.
We know
that raises and trains and builds the people of God. Any other literature could be useful.
Profitable.
But this one is good. There is nothing out there to compare with scripture. Not books people have written. Not people's opinion. But the scripture is good. Now, I'm not saying that you don't need other Christian literatures to help your Christian life. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there's nothing out there to compare with the scripture. The scripture is good. The word good means it is dependable. It is beneficial. It is worthy.
Esombo.
See, there are certain people, they are worthy of hearing. There are certain books, they are worthy of reading. The scripture is worthy. It is worthy. Now the scripture is genuine. That is why I like the word good. Because the word good brings us the dependability of the word of God.
Now
it is beneficial. It is worthy. It is genuine. It is the genuine. It is good. It is good. You see, why is the word of God good? Because the scriptures,
if we say in Chirano,
it's all about God's dealings with human beings. So the word has been tried on human beings, and God knows that this one, it works for us. So sometimes a drug comes to town, or maybe a vaccine is made, and they said that this vaccine is efficacious because they've applied it, they've tested it, and this one has been worked on man, and God knows that this one, it will work on the white man, the black man, the colored, everyone. It is good, my
Papa.
It is good.
Hey, Papa.
It doesn't matter your background. This word is enough for you. 1 Corinthians 10 from verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized in Moses, in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as example to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Now verse 11. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come.
Na watre no se afutu ma yenga yase brei ato yenyi.
So if you think you are standing firm,
enti de ye ni se ojina hono,
be careful.
Onhwe yi
that you do not fall.
Na wan hwiase.
No temptation.
So hwe biara.
This no temptation is from Adam's time up to today.
Sa so hwe biara we no every Adam breso be
sisa. This word is tested and tried on humans.
Sa se mi wodi aye djuma woni pem.
I mean, it's about Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve.
It is about Elijah.
Elijah.
You see, if you see Elijah calling fire, it doesn't mean he doesn't eat. He eats.
I mean,
it's about the same Satan. He has not changed. Same Almighty God with us. The scripture is for us as example. Written down for us. That is why this scripture is good. It is tested and tried on humans. And God knows that it works. And we have to believe it.
And
when you go to church, and you go and you see that somehow your door was left ajar, and you have had a lot of goats and sheep come in, don't preach the word of God to them. They will not change.
Once a crap.
Because it's not for them. When you see angels, they don't preach the word. It is not for them.
If
but when you see a human being,
it
doesn't matter the person's background. Let us be confident in the word. Because it has transforming power on human beings. This way,
Sasemi
is able to take a sinner from the world, make the person holy, and send the person back into the world, and keep the person still holy. In the book of Titus,
Tito,
Paul left Titus there just for him to finish what I will call some unfinished business. Then he was to appoint elders to manage the new community of believers. They were to shield the Cretans who have just come to Christ from false doctrine. And he and the elders were to transform these Cretans into the image of Christ. But who were they? You see, the Apostle Paul described them as liars. They were cruel people. They were lazy gluttons. But this one, this is the Enshaki. Now you bring the worst of sinners. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
See, if you want your church to be filled with gifts of the Spirit, start teaching the word of the gifts of the Spirit. Soon, everyone will be operating in Spirit. It is good for teaching and training in righteousness. Now, how is he going to transform these lazy people?
Now,
when we say people are liars, it means that they have the spirit of the devil. These were cruel people. How was he going to do it? Titus chapter 2, verse 1.
Tito etimienu chichemu baako.
You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine.
Now, what dear? Ka asemwa efata enchrechre pano.
Yes, teach. They don't need any folder water.
Well, here,
they don't need any anointing oil. This word is anointed just as Christ is anointed. Just teach sound doctrine. Then he says, stick the older men to be temperate. Verse
3.
Likewise, teach the older women. Then verse 4. Then they can urge the young women. Then verse 8. Okay, let's jump to verse 9. Teach slaves. So there are various categories of people. You have young men there. Young women. Old men. Old women. Slaves. The rich. The poor. He says, teach them. Teach all of them. Teach all of them. And then when you teach them, this word of God is able to transform them into the image of Christ. Now, if this is the word that we are going to use to train God's people, what then should be our attitude as leaders towards this word? Because we have to feed on it and the young ones who feed on us.
If he said, as I said,
2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Let me just remind this, Timothy, this powerful scripture.
Timothy,
chapter
2,
verse
15.
2 Timothy 2,
15.
Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Now, when we say approved, I'm saying that someone that God has put a stamp.
Now, say ye kase obia ofata, dia me pachel onipa onyankopon edin afidie etim nisu say pan
satisfy.
Watch us say makuma tomiyem
approved.
Magina tum.
Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. Who correctly handles the word of truth. It isn't that the word of God does not work, but it has to do with those who handle
it.
Those of us who are handling it. Who's come and talk about handling it. But you see, a friend of mine who is dead many years ago, A.W. Tozer.
Madam Fubia, when you baby call in pre baby, I call your friend A.W. Tozer.
He has a concern for today's church.
Now, how be ever and a sorry
and church elders and leaders.
Any as a from penny for any a kenny for
this is what his concern is.
Na, ni how any?
There is today no lack of Bible teachers. to set forth correctly the principles of the doctrine of Christ. But too many of these seem satisfied to teach the fundamentals of the faith year after year. Strangely unaware that there is in their ministry no manifest presence. Nor anything unusual in their personal lives. Now listen to this big one. They minister constantly to believers who feel within their breasts a longing which their teaching simply does not satisfy. Now, how is this word of God powerful? Has a transforming power. But he's saying that too many of us today. We teach, but the people are not satisfied. Now he continues. The hungry sheep look up and are not fed. And so the man is opening the word of God. People are hungry. They come to church. They look up. But they are not fed. They look up. But they are not fed. It is a solemn thing. And no small scandal in the church. To see God's people starving while seated at the Father's table. Why is that? Very Reverend Professor Samuel Jedu, the principal of Trinity Theological Seminary, he said one time that just recently one of their church leaders once commented that the church is getting more doctors. That is ministers with doctorate degrees. But the church is getting sicker and sicker.
And so asoro no yare no yare.
We are not against studying.
Yentia adisuya.
As you are listening to me, we are all studying.
I've
studied, that is why I'm also teaching. We wish all of us are doctors. But you see, when we all come with doctorate degrees and we are all teachers of the word, and the church is getting sicker and sicker, it means the doctors are not healing us. See, A.W. Tozer seems to agree with this assertion by the prof.
A.W. Tozer, no, on the prof,
he states, and I quote,
"Maker,
for it's not mere words that nourish the soul."
And yet, in Samuara Keke, Biara,
but God Himself. And unless and until the hearts find God in personal experience, they are not the better for having heard the truth. So there's something about handling the word. There is something about getting the logos into a real rhema with life. And the scriptures agrees with what they are saying. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9.
Hebrew for woman.
Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. For it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. Our hearts is strengthened by grace. So there is something about handling the word.
Just
going to teach that this is what the Bible is saying. I met somebody who had just finished some degree. And I heard his arguments. Trying to prove that he has just finished his master's degree. When I saw him opening his mouth like that, I wondered the kind of anointing that is on his life to make the word of God that he thinks he has gone to study have effects on the human heart. There was something about Jesus and his word. Luke 24. Yes, let me just take that one and then we'll come back again.
Luke 24.
From verse 30. Now, this is about Jesus and the people, the disciples on the way to Emmaus. Later on, they asked him to stay with them.
Verse
30 says that when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened. Now, this bread breaking and all that, we have said that it signifies the manna. So we can interpret it as that. Then their eyes were open. And they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. Now, listen to this big one. Now, they are going to confer to prove whether it was he.
Now watch this. And
remember that these were disciples. What that means is that they know him. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?
Na oniye rekasa kwamu na obue atrensenu mu achaye no ye akuma anhishi ye wo ye mu ana.
What this means is that it was customary of him.
There na we chrene say na eyade ada oye.
When you heard him,
say what tenin kan,
something worked on your inside.
Bibi beye dwuma wo akuma mu.
When you heard him,
say what tenin kan.
That is why Peter will say that.
And it's the Petro Becker say,
we have worked throughout the night.
And I'm
an experienced fisherman.
But
while you were speaking,
and so bra,
I was listening to you.
Me too.
So at your word.
And what's empty?
Yeah, nevertheless.
Now so what's empty?
At your word.
What's empty?
I'll try again. There was something about his words. John chapter 4.
Johannes empano 89
verse 40 and 41. This is about the people in Samaria.
Samaria.
So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. Now look at verse 41. And because of his words, Jesus. Many more became believers. And because of his words. There was something about his words. And the people said that, they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this man really is a savior of the world. Now one day he was speaking. And a certain woman shouted, blessed is the womb that conceived you. Hearing his word. Blessed is the womb that conceived you. Now, John chapter 7. From verse 45. Now, this was when the chief priest expected the temple guards to have arrested Jesus and brought to them.
Now it's up when you na asofun penifono ehwe kwan say asor dem asrafo no be chiri Yesu na wodi na bre no.
Finally, John 7 from 45. Yeah. Finally, the temple guard went back to the chief priest.
Enna asomafo no ba asofun penifono
and the Pharisees.
Any Pharisee for nchen
who asked them.
Enna obisib sa won say,
why didn't you bring him?
Adinti na manfa no ama.
Now they are going to reply or listen to what they are going to say.
No
one ever spoke the way this man does. The guys replied, you mean he has deceived you also?
And a Pharisee for the boy won't say, Wadada
Monso. The Pharisees retorted,
Wadada Monso.
Go and arrest the man.
When
they went and he was speaking.
Say
no, no, no.
There
was something about his words. No one ever spoke like this.
Say that.
And people say, hey, has he deceived you also?
And I'm saying, hey, Moso Makwa Wajadam.
Luke 4:22.
Said, look at actually 89.
See, the first time that he went to the synagogue.
Ebra, of course, she had them
dedicated. They gave him the scripture and he read.
Listen
to him.
And
the Bible says that the eyes of Luke 4. Let me just read from verse 20. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. After he had finished reading, they heard it. They saw him. He began saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now 22. All spoke well of him. And were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Gracious words.
Adom ensem
that came from his lips. Gracious words.
Adom ensem.
Then so they had to question.
Etina esese obisa bibi.
Isn't this Joseph's son?
Enye Joseph banuni ana.
They asked.
Obisai.
What gracious words.
Adom ensem.
Shall we just bow our heads wherever we are? Let us pray how we will be able to handle this word. Handling this word. That this word will have the needed effects on the human beings. On our church members. As we preach. As we pray. As we teach.